بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ونبينا أبي القاسم مصطفى محمد اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وعلى آله الطيبين الطاهرين سيما بقية الله في الأراضين ولعن الله أعدائهم أجمعين إلى قيام يوم الدين السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. In today's session, we are going to be uncovering some of the major details regarding one of the most important lessons that we can learn from the life of Imam Hussein and from the revolution of Karbala. And that particular factor is none other than what we call it, accepting the responsibility and acting upon the responsibility that has been bestowed on you by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In different languages, it is known as masuliyat paziri, or again, it's really hard to translate that in English. The loose translation, which would not have that much depth of the meaning, would be accountability of the responsibilities that have been assigned on you. This is one of the things, or one of the lessons that we can learn from the life of Imam Hussein, one of the lessons that we can learn from the lives and how from the lives of the companions of Imam Hussein, how they were not only fulfilling the responsibilities that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had bestowed upon them, but exceeding in what was their bare minimum. Oftentimes, we see that we are content with what fiqh says. We are content with the boundaries of jurisprudence. Acting upon wajibat, staying away from muharramat, first of all, understanding what they are, is pretty much where many of the believers short sell themselves. I mean, if you really pay attention to wajibat, to the obligatory actions and the actions that are forbidden in Islam, there is not much of a choice if you do them or if you don't do them. Obligatory actions, you have to do them, you have to act upon them. Forbidden acts, you have to refrain from them. If you don't do that, there are a series of consequences that we might end up facing on the Day of Judgment in Barzakh. So just being content with performing wajibat, performing obligatory actions and staying away from forbidden acts is a bare minimum that a believer is required to include in their lives. But when we are talking about accepting the responsibility and acting upon the responsibility, this is something which is for everyone. And that's why I said that when we are talking about acting upon the wajibat, when we are talking about staying away from muharramat, a lot of times we don't even know what our wajibat and what our muharramat are. Unfortunately, we have confined them to some of the basics, which is praying salat is wajib, fasting in the month of Holy Ramadan is wajib, staying away from alcohol is wajib, God forbid, dealing in any kind of transactions with alcohol is haram. So we have kind of confined even the obligatory actions and forbidden acts. But when a responsibility is given to you, and if you don't perform them, if you don't act upon the responsibility, if you don't fulfill the responsibility, that will also make you a failed person. So if you are assigned a task of, say, for example, if you're in academic arena, if you're assigned a task in your high school, in your college, in your university, to prepare for the exam that will be taken at the end of the semester. This is a task that is assigned to you. And if you don't study well, if you don't prepare yourself enough for the test, then you're going to end up failing the test. Correct? So, acting upon the task, fulfilling the task that has been assigned to you is extremely important. At the end of the day, when we are talking about obligatory actions and forbidden acts, staying away from the forbidden acts and performing obligatory actions, it is so that we can be amongst the successful ones. We can be amongst the faizun. We can be amongst the victorious people. So if we are not performing the tasks that are assigned to us, then we are not going to be able to pass those tests, and we are not going to be included amongst those who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His special appointed representatives would be proud of. What is that responsibility? It says in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that the oath was taken from Bani Adam, from me and you. In Surah Araf, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, وَإِذْ أَخَذَ رَبُّكَ مِنْ بَنِي آدَمَ مِنْ ظُهُورِهِمْ ذُرِّيَّتِهِمْ وَأَشْهَدَهُمْ عَلَى أَنفُسِهِمْ أَلَسْتُ بِرَبِّكُمْ قَالُوا بَلَى شَهِدْنَا أَن تَقُولُوا يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ إِنَّا كُنَّا عَنْ هَذَا غَافِلِينَ. The translation goes like, when your Lord took out the offspring from the loins of the children of Adam, He made each and every one of us take this oath. What was that oath? And made them bear witness about themselves. So we ourselves are witness of what promise, what covenant we took from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What did He say? It says, He said, am I not your Lord? Alastu rabbukum, alastu bi rabbikum. Alastu bi rabbikum, am I not your Lord? What did we say at that time? So they replied, Qalu bala shahidna. Yes, we bear witness. To what? That you are our Lord. Means, I am your servant. I'm your slave. We ourselves testified on our behalf that we are His slaves. So you cannot say on the day of resurrection, on the day of Qiyamah, that we were not aware of this. Responsibility. So once you make a promise, what is the responsibility? What is the sign of a mu'min? That he fulfills his promise. وَالْمُوفُونَ بِأَحْدِهِمْ إِذَا أَحَدُوا. When they make promise, they fulfill their promises. It is amongst the signs of mu'min. And as it has been mentioned in Surah Baqarah, says in the Quran that ليس البر أن تولوا وجوهكم قبل المشرق والمغرب ولكن البر من آمن بالله واليوم الآخر. And amongst different signs that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in this ayah, He says that والموفون بأهدهم إذا أحدوا, that they fulfill their promise. And over here clearly states that we bore witness that you are our Lord. Now if you ask someone that who is your Lord, of course they'll say Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if you ask a believer, if you ask a Muslim. What is it that we mean when we say Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is our Lord? What is it when we say إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ, that only you do we worship, only you do we seek help from? It means cutting off your hopes from anyone. We are cutting off all the relationships. We are cutting out all the dependencies from anyone other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is what it means when we are saying He is our Lord. This is what it means when we say that only Him do we worship. Yes, when we are talking about worshiping someone, it doesn't necessarily mean that we have started saying, for example, إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ, I don't know, say, dollars. It's not like we are worshiping, we are putting dollars idol in front of us and we are worshiping it. Worshiping means that sleeping, eating, breathing, drinking, you are doing something which is other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How inclined, how attached we are with other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How attached do we feel with non-divine people, non-divine things? This is all part of polytheism. This is all part of shirk. If we are depending on anyone other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is shirk. We see that how the task that were assigned, the responsibility that was assigned to mankind was best displayed in Karbala. It was not a choice for Imam Hussein to just sit out. When I say it wasn't a choice, as a chief of the believers, as the Imam of the believers, as the representative of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he could not have seen an oppressor damaging the hard work of Prophet, of Imam Ali, of Imam Hassan. He could not have seen, he could not just sit out there and witness Yazid rip Islam apart while the others were still thinking about their wazifa, their responsibility. Imam knows his responsibility. Imam knows that he has to save Islam and he has to save Ummah. And that's why he said that I have not done the uprising for the sake of myself, for the sake of just causing sedition, but I want to reform the Ummah of my Jadd. This is saying labbaik, at your service, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, at your service to fulfill my responsibilities. I'm recognizing those responsibilities and working on them is part of this covenant that we made to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How do we understand what our responsibilities are? Just need to look at the Quran. At times Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu ibadu rabbukum alladhi khalaqakum walladhina min qablikum la'allakum tattaqoon. Ya ayyuha nasu. Then it's in another ayah, it says, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu udkhulu fi silmi kaffa wa la tattabi'u khutuwat ash-shaytan innahu lakum aduwwun mubin. The translation, oh people who believe, enter peace, enter by completely submitting to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Complete submission. Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu udkhulu fi silmin kaffa. Complete submission. Which means that any time you see something which is non-divine, you ought to feel disgusted about it. You ought to feel the sense of responsibility in order to stop that non-divine action from taking place, let alone you indulging in non-divine actions. Where does this sense of responsibility take you? We've got examples after examples in the Sadr Islam, from the beginning of Islam till now. Those who are true believers, what do they do in order to fulfill their responsibilities? In the Battle of Uhud, there was a time when some injured mujahideen, they hadn't embraced martyrdom as of yet, but because of some people not fulfilling their responsibilities, not listening to Prophet, not obeying Prophet, thinking that they might know more than Prophet, thinking that they might just go after the worldly gains under the pretext of Islam, because of the negligence on their part, some people had to suffer, some mujahideen had to suffer, some mu'mineen had to suffer. And there was a time when few of the believers were taking their last breath. A person walked up to one of the people, one of the mujahideen, offered him water. He said that the water, you can take it to the next mujahid who is taking his last breath. See, sense of responsibility. You're dying. I mean, you want to quench your thirst. You have received numerous wounds at the hands of kuffar, but the sense of sacrifice, sense of fulfilling the responsibility, what? The responsibility of being a good human, responsibility of being a good Muslim, responsibility of the right that you have on other Muslim brother. The person asked whoever was giving this person some water, he said, go to the next person, go to the next mujahid. Person went to the next mujahid. He said, this other person might be more injured. Why don't you go to him and give him some water? By the time he got to the third person, he had received martyrdom. So he went to the first person. When he went to the first person, that person had received martyrdom. When he went to the second person, who had directed him to the third, that person had received martyrdom. This is what sense of accountability, sense of responsibility brings. When you have sense of responsibility, you cannot see any Tom, Dick, and Harry just come and rule over the Muslim world and violate Allah's commands, and for you to just sit on your own and stay indifferent about it. Imam Hussein could not have seen that. The companions of Imam Hussein could not see that. That's why we mentioned a couple of days ago that even though their hereafter was guaranteed, but yet they still did not want to leave their Mawla. They did not want to leave their master because of the sense of accountability, sense of responsibility that they felt towards their Imam. It's not always about what jurisprudence has allowed and what jurisprudence has not allowed. I mean, if you really dig deep down into the jurisprudential part as well, you are supposed to fulfill your promises. When we said that I read the ayah for you believers, that we agreed, we bore witness against our own selves. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took the covenant from us, took an oath from us, and we
agreed with that covenant. What does that covenant entail is something that we need to really ponder upon. And just mere negligence in the answer that we did not know is not going to give us any clean slate. It's not going to be served as an excuse that, oh, we did not know. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has provided us with all the tools for us to acquire what our responsibilities and what our oath entail. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Quran, Ya ayyuhallazina amanu udkhulu fi silmi kaffa wa la tattabi'u khutuwati shaytan innahu lakum aduwwun mubin. That enter with full submission, O people who believe, the believers. Allah is addressing to the believers. Enter with full submission and do not follow. وَلَا تَتَّبِعُ خُطُوَاتِ الشَّيْطَانِ إِنَّهُ لَكُمْ عَدُوٌّ مُبِينٌ. Do not follow the footsteps of shaitan. He is your sworn enemy. We are constantly trying to stay away from the harms. We are constantly trying to work for our interest. We human beings, religious or not non-religious, believers or non-believers, they're not out of either one of the two options mentioned. Either looking for their interest or staying away from harm. The responsibility that we have towards ourselves is at least protect ourselves from the harms, is to protect ourselves from the dangers. Would a sane person willingly put his hand on fire? No. any sane person would stop himself from doing so, would never do something like that, then where's the problem? Why is it that we have not been able to identify the responsibilities that we have towards ourselves? Why is it that we have not been able to fulfill the responsibilities that we know? One thing is to know your responsibilities. The next step is to act towards them. Ayatollah Bhajat used to say that the problem is not that we don't know anything. The problem is what we know, we don't act upon them. The responsibilities that Imam Hussein felt, the responsibilities that the companions of Imam Hussein felt, it was not about heaven or hell. It was about fulfilling their promise, fulfilling their responsibilities. Amongst the sign of the believers, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Quran, while defining the characteristics of mu'min, in Surah Baqarah, he mentions about mu'mineen, وَالْمُوفُونَ بِأَهْدِهِمْ إِذَا أَهَدُوا, that they are fulfiller of the promises that they have made. You don't have to be a religious person in order to know that fulfilling your promise is a good behavior, is a good trait. Not fulfilling the promise, lying, being dishonest with your promise, is an unethical thing. If you do believe in Quran, you do believe in this ayah that I quoted earlier, that you are not, that you took covenant, we all took covenant, we all bore witness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that He's our Lord, He's our Rabb. And why is it that we are backing away from the promise that we have made? The companions of Imam Hussein were guaranteed, and you know, if you really go in the details of the event that took place on the night of Ashura, when Imam Hussein dimmed the light, put off the light, put off the candles, asked his companions, or lifted the oath from them, asked them to take one of the family members with them. If they would have done so, I don't think even people after him would have blamed them. They could have said that, okay, yes, they stayed with Imam Hussein, and at the end, they left Karbala because in order to save the family of Imam Hussein, in order to provide refuge for Imam Hussein's family. But the covenant that they felt that they had towards Wilaya, the covenant that they felt that they had towards their Wali, their Mawla, did not let them live another moment. For another moment, if their master was not alive. And this is what you called acting upon the responsibilities that are bestowed upon you. This is what you call fulfilling the responsibilities and fulfilling the promise. We have to be extremely careful. Extremely careful. When we are claiming that we are going to be there for the Imam of the time. We cannot just let it go by. We cannot just be negligent towards it. There were many levers
of Imam Hussein alayhi salam in 61st Hijrah. But the love does not mean anything if it's not followed by actions. You can keep telling your children you love them all day long, but if you're not showing that affection, if you're not being there for them, if you're not doing things for their benefit, its love is shallow. If you're not making sacrifice for your children, the love is shallow. You can keep telling your spouses how much they mean to you, but if it's not followed by actions, it won't be believed. Why do we think then, without actions, we can present our case in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that yes, we loved you, we thought that you were our Rabb, we had taken you as our Lord. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, it is incumbent upon us to know what our responsibilities are. Once we have identified the responsibilities, make sure that we act upon those responsibilities. We owe something to the body parts that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us with. The eyes that He has bestowed us, they are meant not to see anything but which is divine. The hands that have been blessed, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us with, they're not to be used in anything which is non-divine. Don't let the society fool you that you are free to do whatever you want, because this is going against your promise that you have made to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If I'm free to do whatever I want, am I allowed to commit suicide legally in any country that you live in? No. If I'm free to do whatever I want, can I purposely burn my hand in any country legally? No. If I'm free to do whatever I want, am I allowed to drive the car, especially in the country that we are living in, without wearing seatbelt? I mean, if anything, I'm going to be damaging myself. It's going to be my own harm. No, the state would not allow you to do so. The state would not allow you to harm yourself on purpose. How can Allah allow you? If I'm not wearing a seatbelt, the person who's getting impacted the most is me. But the state does not want you to harm yourself. When the state does not want you to harm yourself, would Allah want you to harm yourself? Someone who loves an existence that loves you more than what you can imagine, more than the love of 70 mothers combined. And the number 70 is just a figurative speech. It's like the love that He has for us is beyond our comprehension. Am I free to do whatever I want? No. It's not logical. It's not legal. There are boundaries for your own good. For your own good. This law that they have over here, that nobody is allowed
to skip school, at least till high school. You cannot say that I'm a high school or I don't want to go to school anymore. I'm not going to go to school at all. You'll be someone in court. The parents will be someone in court. Well, it is my freedom. I can do whatever I want. If it's for my own harm, it's okay. But no, state does not want you to do that. Similarly, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is watching, is mindful of everything, every minute detail that can harm you in any way. That's why he laid out the codes for every action that you will take in your life. Even to go to the bathroom. How are you supposed to go to the bathroom? What foot you need to put in first to enter your house, to enter the bathroom? Like, every minute detail. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is concerned about your safety. He created you for perfection. He created you to reach the level of completion. He created you so that you could acquire some of His attributes. Or all. Though saying all attributes, not in the way where we are confining Allah's attributes. But whatever we know, this is the responsibility. Forget about the responsibility that you have on other human beings. Forget about the responsibility that you have over the universe, over the planet. Let's talk about the responsibility that we have on ourselves. Just read Quran in a way whenever Allah wants. The most obvious verses of Quran that you can get is when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is talking about Ya ayyuhan nas, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu. Those ayahs that are beginning from these things, like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is addressing to you. Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu kutiba alaykum as-siyam kama kutiba alalladhina min qablikum la'allakum tattaqoon wa la ta'kulu amwalu ولا تاكلوا اموال الناس بالباطل. Again, don't these sort of ayahs, they're for you, they're talking, it's talking about you. ولا تقتلوا انفسكم ولا تسفكوا دماءكم واخرجوا انفسكم من دياركم. This is for us. Very simple laws. لا تأكلوا أموال اليتامى. This is what we say, that when we are fulfilling all the commands, we understand, you realize the responsibilities that you have of a lover. What is the responsibility of a lover? And we are not even talking about real love. Real love is only with the existence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We are talking about this virtual love that we have amongst the relationship, which could have the shades of divine love. The love that we have for our spouses, the love that we have for our children. This is, again, glimpse of the real love, the divine love. It could be. So, the responsibility of a lover is to make sure he wins the pleasure of the beloved. Isn't it so? We do everything for our children. We do everything for our parents. We do everything, or we want to do, we should be doing everything that will win their pleasure, that will win the pleasure of our spouse, that will win the pleasure of our children. This is a responsibility. A lot of things that you do for your family, would they fall under obligation that you have to do them? No. But in order to be a good family member, you want to always do above and beyond. This is the criteria of being a lover. You want to do things above and beyond for the beloved. And this is what the companions of Imam Hussein were trying to do. They were trying to do above and beyond. That's why you hear the statements from them that if we were to be burned and turn into ashes 1,000 times, and if we were allowed to come back, we would still support Ya Aba Abdullah Hussein. We'll still come back and stand right next to you and defend you. This is going above and beyond the jurisprudence restrictions. This is how you become Shia in its proper meaning. You want to go above and beyond. You don't want to wait for your imam to tell you things, to dictate things to you, but rather you are so immersed in imamat, you are so immersed in wilayat, that you know that what your imam would want you to do, and you do that without him telling you or without him dictating to you. Only if we are able to learn this lesson from Karbala, and it ties back to the points that we have talked about. It ties back to Basira. When you're immersed in wilaya so much that you know what your wali wants, this is Basira. What will happen when you do that? It'll give you izzah. It'll give you respect. You will become immortal like the companions of Imam Hussein. It will help you when you understand your responsibilities. It will help you realize your shortcomings and hence repentance. It will help you understand what infaq is. Where's the void? What else can I do to make my beloved happy? What else is missing? You understand what's missing and you won't do that. It will help you understand your responsibilities, your wazifa. It was that sense of responsibility that made Imam Hassan write a will for his brother. It was a sense of responsibility that the 13-year-old realized, and when asked, "What is death to you?" he stated, "Death is sweeter to me than honey." It's a very mystic statement, very mystic response definitely not just a claim. It was a sense of responsibility that Farwa felt, Lady Farwa felt on the day of Ashura, when the ladies were banned from entering the battlefield. What could she have offered to the Wali, to the Imam of the time? It was a sense of responsibility that Qasim felt and insisted his uncle, his beloved uncle, his Imam, to let him go and defend him, to defend Islam. It was a sense of responsibility that 13-year-old felt that he had to go, and the way he introduced himself. You see, nothing but sense of responsibility and how it was being fulfilled. It was a sense of responsibility that Hazrat Qasim felt as he was fighting and killing the soldiers of the wretched army. How hard it must have been for Imam Hussein to give permission to Hazrat Qasim to go and fight, to send him in the battlefield where he knew that whoever has gone has not returned. How hard it must have been for Imam Hussein to have a nephew like Qasim who would remind him of his beloved brother. When the remains of your brother, when your nephew is in front of you, the people, everyone is, it's innate to have a special love for your nephews, but especially the nephews who are orphaned. You want to give them special care, you want to provide them with special love and affection. And that's why Imam Hussein, when Hazrat Qasim fell on the ground, Imam Hussein rushed to him, crying and wailing, and said that how bad is it for your uncle not to be able to respond to your call, but when he does, it is already too late. Barakallahu ala qawmin dhalimeen. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help us understand our responsibilities, to help us realize our responsibilities and act towards it. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to hasten the reappearance of Imam, to protect him from all the evil, to protect him from the deception of the so-called followers. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect Imam's deputy, Imam Khamenei, from all the evils. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect and prolong the lives of pious Marja, Sayyid Ali Sistani, and all the revered scholars. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect the sanctity of holy shrines, to protect the sanctity of the believers, to protect the respect of the believers. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect all those who are defending Islam. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.